comes from Proverbs chapter 3. We're reading Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. And if you're using your Pew Bible, you can find that in page 618. Let's pray before we read God's word. Father, we thank you that you are a God of wisdom, that you are a God of understanding. Lord, you designed us in your image and likeness to reflect your character in this world and to extend your rule and glory. Lord, we thank you for how you have made us. We thank you that you continue to speak to us, even to our hearts, as we read your word. Lord, give us understanding, give us insight, and give us appreciation and love for your truth. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. It says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in." This is the word of God. Now may God bless the preaching of his word also to us. Amen.
The first thing I'd like to do on my first Sunday back in the pulpit here at Bethesda after a bit of vacation is to thank Pastor Chris and Nancy, also Cambies, who's not here, he's at his church, and all those who continued on in the ministries of word and worship and in various other places of service in our absence. But this was, as some of you know already, more of a dramatic vacation than we usually had or than we prefer, frankly. Both Shelley and Ashley ended up at the hospital at some point, twice in Ash's case, as she dealt with some sort of photoallergic reactions that we're trying to get to the bottom of. Then Shelley and Abby were attacked, and that's the word, attacked by a sea creature, officially called a Portuguese man of war, or also known as floating terror. Here's a graphic of this sea monster as it floats through the water. It turns out that the Portuguese man of war, or floating terror, as it's aptly also called, isn't just one organism at all, but it's a collective of sea creatures together. So you see the parts here. There's the crest. And the pneumatophore, gas-filled polyp. Doesn't that sound very interesting? And the gonozoids for reproduction and gastroids for digestion. And then I'm not even sure how to say that. That sounds like a dinosaur or something. But the thing that I'm really interested in showing you here are the coiled, stinging tentacles. Those coiled, stinging tentacles can remain viable up to 5 days after detaching from the rest of the organism. And we think that's probably what attacked Abby and Shelley in the water. First, Abby wrapping around her legs, and then when Shelley tried to help her, it got Shelley also. And it turns out that Shelley is not only allergic to bee stings. She's also allergic to Portuguese men of war, as it turns out. And she had to go to the hospital because her arm blew up and by that I mean swelled up. I don't mean it actually blew up. So Abby's recovered well and naturally, though she may have some residual emotional trauma and some physical scars to tell the story. And you can see Shelley has recovered as well. Now, before we get started in the ministry of God's Word, I'd also like to note that today, the third Sunday of August, 2017, marks exactly 10 years since we began our relationship as pastor and congregation. Well, I wasn't expecting that. And we started on the third Sunday of August, 2007. Remarkably, Abby and Ashley were 9 and 6 years old at that time. So they have literally grown up with you, and they are now 19 and 16. Wow, and almost 20 and almost 17. So today we begin our 11th year together, and I'm as confident as ever that the Lord Jesus himself brought us together, and I'm equally hopeful that he's not yet done with us. And I hope that is your sense as well. So over the next weeks and months, I hope that each of us will do our best to be in our places. Places of worship, places of fellowship, places of service, to bring God much glory, particularly as we continue seeking the Lord's continued grace and guidance, and even as we try some new stuff along the way. I hope you'll be able to be present and active and positive contributors to what the Lord is doing among us over the next number of weeks and months. And this actually leads us quite nicely into our message for this morning. It's entitled, as you saw from the title slide, Knowing Jesus Through the Proverbs, The Heart of True Wisdom. Now, I put true in brackets because that's not something that we read in Proverbs talking about true wisdom versus false wisdom, at least not overtly. That's kind of in the background. But there are many things that offer themselves in the world to us as wisdom, and they're false. And so what we're talking about today, and what we've been talking about in this series, is true wisdom, the wisdom that comes from God. And we began this series several weeks ago, first with the call of wisdom that Pastor Chris shared with us, and then followed by the value of true wisdom. And then for the last three Sundays, Pastor Chris has focused on some more practical aspects of wisdom in the living of godly, productive, and meaningful lives. Discerning the way of the fool 3 weeks ago, following the way of the righteous 2 weeks ago, and then last week, diligence versus laziness. So this morning, I'd like for us to continue to process the more fundamental aspects of wisdom, or true wisdom, perhaps even a theology of wisdom, by asking some questions. What is wisdom? Why is wisdom important? For example, why is there a whole book dedicated to it, and really a section of books dedicated to wisdom? Job, the Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon are all combined in what is normally referred to as the wisdom books of the Bible. So why is it important? And whose version of wisdom is good, right, and true? And what does this have to do with Jesus? These are all important questions that I hope to answer today and next Sunday as well, as we look at this little two-part message starting this morning. Now, an argument can be made, and I believe Pastor Chris and I have been making it in this series, and I certainly will be making the argument here this morning, that today we need wisdom, and specifically the wisdom of God, more than anything else. Now, I know some of you will have your gospel alarms going off, and If not your gospel alarms, then your doctrinal alarms are going off. Wait just 1 minute. We need Jesus Christ more than anything else. Yes? I'm not saying anything in contradiction to that. I am asking to stick with me here for a moment and think through this today and next Sunday. I'm not asking you to stop discerning truth. Knowing discernment comes from the Spirit, and in fact, I'm asking you to ask the Holy Spirit to increase your sense of biblical discernment. But to do that, we have to listen to what is being said. Rather than to allow our minds to wander on rabbit trails, perhaps gospel and doctrinal trails, rather than hearing what is being spoken of today, believing that the Lord speaks to us when we gather together as His people. Because by the end of our time in God's Word this morning, and especially by the end of our time next week, I will justify my statement from the Scriptures that we need the wisdom of God today more than anything else. In fact, I intend to prove from the Scriptures that we need God's wisdom more than anything else today. And not only today, but every day. Every day we need more than any other thing the wisdom of God, and that He only alone supplies. And He does so in three primary ways that we'll look at here briefly. He does so through His Word and Holy Scripture, primarily. He does so by the Holy Spirit, whom He gives to every born-again believer, and always consistently with His Word, written in Scripture. And He does so in godly counsel and community. And so as we look at these three aspects of how God provides to His people wisdom, I want us to make sure from the outset that it's important that all of us, individually and as a congregation, engage God as He gives us wisdom, which is to say, we have to be in our Bibles. It really is not sufficient, and I'm not talking about religion here. I'm not talking about legalism here. I'm talking about food for your souls. It is not sufficient to just be in your Bible once a week on Sunday mornings. We need to be in our Bibles. God feeds His people spiritually through His Word and literally. We also need to be in prayer and in ongoing communion with the Lord so that we might hear what the Spirit is saying to us. Not in contrast, of course, or certainly in contradiction to His Word, but how do we apply God's Word to our lives specifically, personally, in the moment? I've shared with you some of my story along the way, and just something that comes to mind as I'm speaking here. It's the process by which Shelley and I came together as husband and wife. I struggled over this issue. I didn't want to get it wrong. Some of you know some of the reasons for that. I didn't want to get it wrong, but I became to prefer not taking responsibility to live by faith, so I wanted the Lord to speak to me verbally, marry Shelley. Why? Well, but there's no verse in Scripture that says, Mark, marry Shelley. You see, we need the Holy Spirit to apply God's Word. And so in this case, characteristics of a godly wife, and guess what? There she was. And it was actually in the silence that I knew that God was speaking to me as clearly and as loudly as I'd ever heard Him. Almost like He was saying, I brought the woman to you, what else do you want? We need to be in communion with the Lord so that we can hear and we can be empowered to apply God's Word to our particular situation individually, as families, as a congregation. We need to hear from the Holy Spirit, whom He's given every born-again believer. So that's the second way. And the third way is through godly counsel. And we only get godly counsel in the context of community. I don't think I have to explain that. I am not a community of my own, and I cannot counsel myself. Now, God can counsel me through His Word, and the Holy Spirit can counsel me by God's Word through the Holy Spirit as I'm engaging in these two things. But the Bible is clear. We are born for it. When I say born, I mean both naturally, physically, and spiritually, we are born for community. We need each other. So let's take a few minutes to explore these individually. First, today, oh, there's the Portuguese man of war. See you later. We don't want him anymore. I forgot I went backwards on the slide. Today, we need the wisdom that only God supplies through his word in Holy Scripture. And again, the implied task here. When I was in the army, we had express tasks, do this, and we had implied tasks. In order to do that, you have to do these other things. And it's always the implied tasks that get you in trouble because you didn't do them or didn't do them well or rightly, right? So the expressed truth here is that we need the wisdom that only God supplies through his word and Holy Scripture. The implied task is we need to be in his word. We need to be receiving his word. We need to be engaging with his word. We need to be believing his word. We need to be living out his word. There are many self-validating passages in the Bible, both Old and New Testaments, that we can consult. Here are two. The first one is this one. This is from Psalm 19, verses 7, 8, and 11. The law of the Lord is perfect. Now, I want you to notice the form. First of all, it gives a reference to God's word, and there are several references here that put it a bit differently. They're all references to God's word. Then it gives a characteristic of God's word, and then it gives the benefit. Notice that. The law of the Lord, God's word, is perfect, or complete is another way of translating that word there. What's the benefit? Restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, check it out, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. I'm going to pause here for a moment and apply this particular truth. You will know that Pastor Chris and I have been working on a revision to our doctrinal statement over the last number of months, really the last year, but intensely the last number of months. And both of us together have testified to each other that as we do this work, the result for us is worship. Don't ever, ever, ever dismiss the value of sound doctrine. It ought to move God's people to worship. Because in it is God's revelation of himself to his people. And I was very glad to hear that one of our elders on Tuesday, okay, it was Neil Creighton, said that as he worked through the doctrinal statement himself personally, he also was very encouraged and was moved to, what's the word? Worship. It was very encouraging to hear him say that. Well, here we see an application of that. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. What else? The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Verse 11. Oh, I got to get there. Moreover, by them. Well, what is them? Well, he's talking about by God's law, by God's testimony, by God's precepts, by God's commandments, or in summary, by God's word. Moreover, by them, by God's word, your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. We need this wisdom that only God supplies through his word and Holy Scripture. And the New Testament is consistent with that. It also concludes that. This is very familiar verse here from 2 Timothy chapter 3 on this topic. But as for you, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to his son in the faith, Timothy, at this time now the pastor of the church at Ephesus. As for you, in contrast to the things that are going on around you, both in the world and in the church, people are going from bad to worse. People are slithering their ways into homes and breaking up families. People are worshiping money and themselves and other things than God. But as for you, he says, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And then we all know verse 16 probably, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God or the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So today and every day, we desperately need the wisdom that only God supplies through His Word in Holy Scripture. But secondly, as we mentioned earlier, we also need desperately, today and every day, more than anything, the wisdom only God supplies by the Holy Spirit, whom He gives to every one of His children. Now, this was a delightful discovery for me this week as I studied for this moment. I want to encourage you, when we're in seminary, they actually require us to read the Bible. So I know that I had read this verse before. I didn't remember it. So I was delighted to discover it this week. Check this out. Exodus chapter 28, verse 3. Now, I have to tell you ahead of time, and I'll explain myself here in a minute, but this is a literal rendering of the Hebrew. Okay? Our translators don't do so good because they're trying to help us or the writer of Scripture or the Lord and interpret in addition to translation. I know there's some of that that has to go on, but let's get the verse first. Check this out. Speaking to Moses, God is speaking to Moses, you are to instruct, check it out, all the wise of heart whom I have filled with what? Or who? The spirit of wisdom. This is what it says literally. That they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister as priest to me, that is, to the Lord. Yahweh is the referent here. And I have to do a bit of explaining, as I mentioned, because I think it's important for us to understand both this verse as well as this aspect of the Holy Spirit's work to bring God's wisdom to God's people. I don't have this in my manuscript, but so this is free. I just believe the words matter. And what I mean is, this goes beyond a doctrinal statement that we believe the Bible. And we have one of those. And we're working on one of those to make it perhaps more relevant to today. Not the Bible more relevant, but our statement of faith more relevant, more accurate, more comprehensive. But what I mean is, when I say the words matter, what I mean is that the words, the actual words chosen by God's servant as they were moved to write by the Holy Spirit, I believe that the words matter. So when we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16, all Scripture is inspired, I don't think that only means Genesis to Revelation. This whole corpus is God-breathed. But it is. I don't only believe that it means that the Old Testament and the New Testament together or individually are God-breathed, which they are. I don't only think that it's saying that the individual books by themselves conceptually are God-breathed. They are. I don't even mean that the chapters of the books and the paragraphs and the sentences are God-breathed. I believe that that is saying to us every single word in Scripture, God-breathed. So the words matter. And I know that sometimes we have to translate idioms from one language to another because they just don't translate. I understand that, but that's not what's going on here. What you see in this verse on the screen is what the text literally says. And this is another of those many times when I wish translators would simply translate what's there in the text. Most Bible translators note that this is what the text of Exodus 28:3 literally says. But they are inconsistent in their actual translation of the text. Again, I suppose because they feel like they need to help us, or the writers of Scripture, or perhaps even God Himself, to get the meaning right. For example, there in your pew Bibles, if you look up Exodus chapter 28 and verse 3, you will read, "Tell all the skilled men," I want you to compare, "all the wise of heart has been changed to all the skilled men, whom I have given wisdom in such matters." compared to whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom. That they are to make garments for Aaron for his consecration, so he may serve me as priest. And me, I've got a little soapbox issue here. Me is lowercase. I know that's standard in today's capitalization. I hate it. I think that every clear reference to God ought to have the honor of a capital letter to distinguish him from me, for example. Or in this case, to distinguish Yahweh from Moses. This is Yahweh speaking, and Aaron is to become a priest not to Moses, but to Yahweh, right? Just a little soapbox issue. The English Standard Version of the Bible doesn't do any better, perhaps even worse, when it says, "You shall speak to all the skillful." What? It says, "All the wise of heart, whom I have filled with a spirit of skill, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom." You get the point, I think. And that's why I've translated it myself from the literal text, so that you might see what it actually says. And I think there's a point here, and the point is, we need wisdom only God supplies by the Holy Spirit, whom he gives to every one of his children to do his work. In this case, they may have been artisans, they may have been seamstresses, but they needed God's wisdom. And that's what the text says, to do his work. Because one profound difference of the Holy Spirit's work in the Old Testament is that God gave his spirit to his particular people to fulfill his particular purposes. So God gave his spirit to the big three, that is, his prophets, his priests, and his kings, and others as well. In this case, perhaps skilled workmen, seamstresses or whomever, artisans, as some of the translations say. And here God was giving his spirit to his particular people by giving them his particular wisdom to do his particular work, to skillfully make Aaron's garments so that Aaron could serve as priest to God. But there are two very exciting upgrades since the New Testament. First, since the incarnation, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and the subsequent coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, God gives the Holy Spirit to every born-again believer, every single one. Not just to specific individuals for a particular purpose serving among God's people, but to every one of God's people. Secondly, equally exciting and maybe a little bit heavy, because God has given every born-again believer in Jesus, every one of his children, his Holy Spirit, together we are now, what? A royal priesthood, serving as priests and ministers to God. And please note in this passage that the Holy Spirit is named the Spirit of Wisdom. Now, with this understanding, we might be able to see more clearly what God's word means when it says, this is James chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let her, show by her, good behavior, her deeds, his deeds, in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy." What does that sound like? That sounds like the fruit of the Spirit passage, right? Well, it is in fact another fruit of the Spirit passage. These things come from above, and who does that refer to? The Holy Spirit, of course. Verse 18, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Indeed, every good gift that God gives to his children, he does so by the Holy Spirit, because of and flowing from the death and resurrection of Jesus. So if it's wisdom we need, and we all do, wisdom from above, wisdom only God himself provides, it is the Holy Spirit who brings it. And we need it. We need him desperately. But thirdly, we also need the wisdom only God provides through good, godly, and wise counsel, which is an aspect, biblically speaking and practically speaking, of spiritual community. We don't get good, godly, and wise counsel on our own by ourselves. As I said earlier, we can't counsel ourselves. That would seem to be clear. Yet how often do we depend and rely on our own quasi-wisdom rather than the wisdom that comes from God through his word, God through his Holy Spirit, and God in godly counsel among his people? God also gives us his wisdom for us in our community with each other. One of the more familiar proverbs speaks to this wisdom aspect of faith community. Here it is, Proverbs 11:14. This is from the Christian Standard Bible. Without guidance, a people will fall, but with many counselors, there is deliverance. Notice this community aspect of wisdom. Proverbs 12:15, a fool's way is right in his own eyes, but whoever, listen to me, you are not the exception to this statement, whoever listens to counsel, and the context here is godly biblical counsel. It's not just any old person giving you their opinion, but whoever listens to counsel is wise. And then there's this one that I really, really appreciated finding. Also from Proverbs, this time chapter 15, the very end of chapter 15. He whose ear listens to the life-giving reproof. Now, we've all heard criticism that kills, right? That's not what this is talking about. This is reproof, correction that has been given in love, and because we have a relationship of love, we can also receive it in love, and it becomes for us both our relationship and also practically in our productivity and the way we live our lives, life. He whose ear listens to the life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. He who neglects discipline despises himself, but he who listens to reproof acquires understanding. For the fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom. And before honor comes humility. All of these are talking about the community function of wisdom. That as we come together, God shares with us his wisdom through each other. Yes, first from his word, then through his Holy Spirit, but not only individually, but as we come together as his people, he is right there among us. I think this is another aspect of Jesus' promise, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. Here we are. All of these are appeals to the wisdom that comes only from God in the context of living out our faith in community with each other. So once again, we come up against this observation that the authentic and growing life of faith is not to be, cannot be, lived alone. We need each other. So to keep our form that we've had already, an Old Testament proof followed by a New Testament proof, I'd like for us to look at a passage we've already seen once this morning, but I'd like for us to look at it a bit differently. We're talking here about the spiritual aspect of wisdom in community. Check out 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17 again, but look at the community aspect here. But as for you, he's still talking to Timothy, continue in what? In what you have learned. Okay, what else? And what you have become convinced of. Why? Because, you know what? Those from whom you learned it. That's community. Now, it's a pretty small community. We'll see here in just a moment. But this is a community function. Because you know those from whom you learned it. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, contextually, bringing the rest of the book to bear on this community function of wisdom, we know that those from whom Timothy learned the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make him and us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, including his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. We see that in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. But he's also talking about Paul, as he writes to Timothy by the Holy Spirit, he's also talking about himself. Because Paul the apostle himself, Timothy's father in the faith, we see in verse 10 that Paul taught him and Timothy followed him. And now Timothy has become the pastor of the faith community, the church in Ephesus. So God gives us what we desperately need, wisdom from above. And he does so primarily through his word and Holy Scripture. He also does so through the Holy Spirit, whom he has given every single believer, born-again believer, and he does so in our living, growing faith community together. So with that long introduction to today's message and next week's, I'm almost done, so I don't want anybody to be scared. We're not going to be here until 1 o'clock. I'll be done hopefully by 11:30. I want you to look with me, though, at Proverbs, starting with chapter 1. To provide the context for next week's message. And one of the things that I want us to think about as we're working through this is the thing that we'll be trying to get across the rest of this morning, next 10 minutes, and next Sunday is this. We can call it the central truth of this morning's message. We can also call it the one point that I'm making here today. And it's this: the heart of true wisdom is God's instruction specifically as a loving father to his children for our good and for his glory, which is ultimately revealed and fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So these first several chapters in Proverbs are all addressed almost exclusively, there are a couple of exceptions, but almost exclusively to a son from a father. And as we see in the New Testament, all of God's children have the rewards and the relationship from God of firstborn sons. All of us. He responds to all of us as firstborn sons. So we can make the application because of Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and because the Holy Spirit has now come and adopted us into God's family, we are all being addressed here as God's son, he being our good and gracious father. Verse 8 of Proverbs chapter 1. Listen, my son. He's speaking to you, and he's speaking to me. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Verse 10, my son. Verse 15, my son. Turn over to verse chapter 2 and verse 1. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you. Verse 9, then you, still speaking to his son, still speaking to us, then you will understand what is right and just and fair. Verse 20, then thus you, still speaking to his son. Verse 1 of chapter 3, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Verse 11, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Verse 12, as a father, the son he delights in, the Lord disciplines those he loves. Verse 21, my son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Chapter 4, verse 1, listen, oh, now it's plural, my sons, to a father's instruction, pay attention and gain understanding. Verse 2, I give you, my sons, sound learning. Verse 10, listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. Look at verse 20. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Verse 1 of chapter 5. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen well to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. Verse 7. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Do not turn aside from what I say. Chapter 6, verse 1. My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, if you have struck hands in pledge for another, if you have been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, to free yourself, since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands. Go and humble yourself. Press your plea with your neighbor. Verse 20. My son, keep your father's commands, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Chapter 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Verse 24. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Verse 4 of chapter 8. To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. See, he's expanding his audience here. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, gain understanding. And if we thought he had moved on, verse 32 of chapter 8. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not ignore it. Blessed is the man who listens to me. We maybe see a progression from the father's sons as children and young boys into youth and now as young men. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway, for whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord, but whoever fails to find me harms himself. All who hate me love death. And Pastor Chris, a couple of weeks ago, noted that there seems to be some helpful sections in the Proverbs. Verses 1 through 9 is much more sermon than proverb. I note that because I want to note when he starts into the Proverbs, which is in chapter 10, what does he say in verse 1? A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son, grief to his mother. God is giving us instruction as a good and loving father because he wants our good. That's the heart of true wisdom. And that's what we'll look at next week. Finally, I said, by the time we leave here, I'll prove to you that wisdom, it's what we need desperately. We looked at this passage several weeks ago. I'm still trying to process it and not get over it exactly. But because of him, that is God the Father, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30, you are in Christ Jesus, who, that is Christ Jesus, became to us wisdom from God. So we know Jesus as the Word made flesh. We know Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. We know Jesus here as wisdom from God, which is thoroughly consistent with Jesus' self-revelation previously. Righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So next week we'll pick it up where we left off here, and we'll look here more in more detail, much more detail, in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. The heart of true wisdom is a father's love for us, his children. Let's pray together. God, our Father, we do thank you for this, your word, this, your word in Scripture, this, your ministry of your word to us, your people. I thank you, Lord, that you have gone out of your way entirely to find us. You've gone out of your way entirely to share with us your word in Scripture. You've gone out of your way entirely to minister to us by your Holy Spirit, bringing us the wisdom that we need, the wisdom that is from above, the wisdom only God supplies. And you have gone out of your way entirely to gather us together as a community of faith in Jesus Christ, bound together by the Holy Spirit. And as we live in this community, as we grow in this community, you also extend to us the grace of your wisdom through each other as your Spirit speaks to us, as your word speaks to us. Help us to listen. Help us to know that your wisdom comes from your heart as our loving Father. In Jesus' name, amen.